So happy it's Thursday. Welcome. ESPN 1700 AM is the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. You can find our past shows on pricelesshome.com, therealestateradiohour.com, YouTube, and on iTunes. They're all over the place. We have two guests in studio today. Larry Gonzalez, partner with Corzon, Gonzalez, and Zaslow CPA firm. Larry, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Happy holidays to you and your listeners.
I hope things
are going well.
Excellent. And Drew Harden with Advanced Brokers Insurance Services. Drew, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us on.
First up today, came out today, actually, not in the business section, but on the front page. A little bit unusual. I usually have to kind of dig for these articles. Front page, Union Tribune. County housing prices surge. Median reaches the highest point since July of 2008. So right now, the median home price, $358,000 in San Diego County, rose 13% since last year. So we were looking at somewhere $320,000, $315,000 median home price last year, up 13%. That's crazy. That's 1% a month. That's the amount of appreciation we saw 2003, 2004, 2005, when everybody was expecting a bubble to burst.
Most of the hedge fund advisors that we've talked to that were buying property in San Diego, now that's not to say that they're not still buying property here, are actually looking out of state because of this fact. Home prices are going up, mm-hmm. and a lot of people are predicting they're going to continue to go up.
So are the new home buyers getting back into the market? Is that what's driving things up? Did the article
well,
go on
there's
to say that,
a lack of inventory, which is speculated to be because banks are holding back shadow inventory. That's one speculation. And certainly interest rates are playing it. And consumer confidence. I mean, that's what this goes through, is saying that people are feeling that the bottom is either here or behind us, but not in the future. And so that's driving consumer confidence up. Which is a good thing.
It's an awesome thing.
It's an awesome thing.
It's what we all need.
Well, year over year, most of the country actually appreciated in terms of transactions closed year over year, except California. And the reason why we didn't appreciate was because there's no inventory. So we have a static number of closings, which is still pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of closings happening, but we're not climbing because of the lack of inventory. Right now, we normally see a slowdown in the transactions. We usually see people out there that are, you know, desperate to sell their house, and what we're seeing now is, you know, very short market times.
And the reason that I think this median home price of $358,000 is relevant today in November is that that previous median home price number was hit back in 2008, in July of 2008. So from July 2008 to November of 2012, we've been in this trough. And we're on our way up now. Again, additionally relevant, back in March 2003, we hit this same median number. So in 2003, we were on our way up. Median home price, $358,000. We peaked 2005, 2006, started coming back down. 2008, we hit again, $358,000. Sat around on the trough, 09, 010, 11. Now we're on our way back up to 2003, 2008, and now 2012, same median home price.
And what a trough it was. I mean, 2009, median home price was $280,000.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, as David pointed out, that the Christmas time, the holidays, is kind of a slow period, yet we've hit this new good number.
Mm-hmm.
The spring will be kind of a confirming indicator if the numbers get better, right?
Yeah, I suppose. We're seeing the transactions increase substantially. So not only the dollar amount of the transactions going up, but the amount of transactions going up. It shows that 3,371 transactions happened this November as compared to November of 2011. So more transactions are happening.
And you guys would know better than anybody, I know there's multiple offers on all these conventional sales out there right now, getting 20 and 30 offers per property.
Yeah, there's a lot of offers flying around right now. And, Yeah, in a lot of cases, people are restraining the showings to certain hours and then saying that they're going to review offers in, you know, 3 or 4 days after they receive a bunch of them to really mitigate the mayhem that's happening out there with the shortage of inventory and the large supply of buyers.
Yeah, David put a property on the market in Oceanside, a two-bedroom on Desmond that was currently rented, is rented. And when did you do that? Maybe a week ago?
We did it on Friday. And over the weekend, we didn't allow anybody to take a look at it, not because we didn't want to, but because it was tenant occupied and the tenant wasn't there and wanted to be present. And so as to honor that agreement, we started showing it on Monday, and we actually started getting offers even without people looking at it.
Yeah, it's absolutely overrun with traffic and offers, because at that price point, you can get enough rent to make something like that pencil. And I guess the offer they're going with may keep the tenant in place. Is that the idea?
Yeah, the current buyer is buying it for cash, and they are going to keep the tenant in place, which, frankly, we're pretty happy about because we really didn't want to displace people this time of year.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're happy to stay, too.
Yeah, they're happy to stay. They don't want to go out there. I mean, the rental market's very, very competitive, too. You know, owners are raising rents because, you know, they're starting to buy properties for more money, and they can because of their shortage of rental properties out there right now, and there's a high demand of renters. However, I do see that changing.
You do?
I see that changing because of the fact that people are aware now that buying property is the right thing to do. I mean, people are just, you know, they're making decisions to buy instead of rent. I mean, for 5 years, the people that owned property were the losers. You know, their properties were going down in value,
right,
while the tenant was like, neener, 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 you know, right? I'm paying low rent while you're losing $2,000 a month, you know?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, too, because if we think we're at the bottom of the market, there's nowhere to go up from here, you know, or nowhere but up from here. So it's probably a good time to jump in if you're not in there already.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy as to where the bottom of the market is. I do feel there's still some fluff in the upper end market. You know, those guys that have $2 million homes, none of those guys take home a W-2. Those are 1099 guys, which means they often don't show everything in their tax returns. And if loans are being based,
I've never heard of such a thing.
I'm sure you haven't. I'm sure you haven't.
Well,
so if your loan is based solely on your tax returns and you're writing everything off, you can't get a loan for $2 million bucks or for 80% of $2 million bucks. There's a few, Miles Hubers, who was in here last week, talked about some no-doc loans that he's offering, which is, excuse me, not no-doc, no-ratio loans that he's offering, which is the closest thing we have now to a no-doc, where they're looking at cash reserves and the equity in the property to make the loan, as opposed to your tax returns. And that is going to be what's needed to bring that upper end back. When more and more of those loans occur out there and are possible, that's going to come back. But the lower end, with all the cash out there, it's hit the bottom.
When the financial analysts actually predict that the marketplace is in fact going up, lending gets looser. Right. I mean, remember the days when they used to loan 125% loan to value and everybody thought they were crazy?
Oh, right.
Right. Remember
that?
I'm sure a lot of those folks refinanced out of those. But the reason why the banks were extending that kind of line of credit was simply because they predicted that the home values were going to go up and they would be in an equity position soon. And therefore, they can charge a unreasonable rate for a second mortgage and actually, you know, encumber a lot of credit card debt, unsecured debt within a mortgage.
Okay, guys, the helpline, 888-551-2593. Again, 888-551-2593. When we come back, we're going to go through a scenario, very specific scenario. It's actually a client that I have right now, about how Obamacare, 3.8% sales tax, what we call it here in the industry, is going to affect her transaction. Larry's going to walk through the whole process, lay it all out for us when we come back.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Radio Hour, AM station 1700, with your host,
Ryan White,
and Big Mac David McKelvin. We are in the studio right now with Larry Gonzalez from Corson Gonzalez and Zoslow, CPAs, and Drew Harden with Advanced Brokers Insurance. And before we cut to break, Ryan, you said something about Obamacare?
Yes, I get asked this question all the time. A lot of people freaking out about selling their home this year versus next year. And it's kind of funny because really the position they're in, there's nothing they can do about it. I'm not an escrow now. It's not going to happen until next year. So I don't know why we're so concerned with getting down to the bottom of it. But nonetheless, I get asked this question actually twice last week. So I'm going to lay out the scenario. All right, Larry, you ready for this?
You bet.
Pencil sharp?
All right.
Okay.
Let's roll.
Okay. I'm selling a home, and it's my primary residence. From the sale, I'm going to walk away net, after I pay all closing costs, $450,000. Yep. I bought it for $150,000, and I put $50,000 of upgrades in it. So adjusted cost base, $200,000? Is that what that's called?
Very good, Ryan.
Yes, look at
ding,
that,
ding,
huh?
Ding, ding, ding. Winner, 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 winner.
And I've lived in it.
Is
two
your
of the last
married? Doesn't matter.
She is not, but you're right. It doesn't matter.
It's yeah, a single taxpayer.
$250,000.
Say yes. I've lived in it two of the last 5 years, so I qualify for the single owner-occupied exemption for a single person of $250,000. So I add up my tax base of $200, and I add up my exemption of $250. Gives me $450. I walk away from the sale at $450. I calculate it as no capital gains.
That is correct. You are right.
So I know there's some other factors as far as how Obamacare is going to play into this. Oh, and by the way, I'm retired. I collect Social Security. That's my income.
So you have little income.
Little income.
Yep.
I own the home free and clear. And should I be concerned about Obamacare?
Well, no. And I think what you're referring to is the Medicare surtax that kicks in the year next year, 2013.
Next year. Mm-hmm.
It's 3.8%. On net investment income, it's one of the funding sources for the healthcare program. But it kicks in for single individuals that have modified adjusted gross income, and now I'm using technical terms, but for single, in excess of $200,000.
Okay.
And in your particular fact pattern that you described, this taxpayer has a gain that's fully excludable because of the Section 121 exclusion, the $250,000. And so it wouldn't be taxable for regular tax purposes, capital gains, and it wouldn't be taxed for the net investment income computation either.
Got it.
And so what would happen is it's a multi-step calculation, and you really would need to talk to a tax professional to sort it out. But you'd need to have taxable income that's in excess of $200,000 in order to be subject to that tax. And if you're at that level of income, chances are probably pretty high that you should be using a tax professional if you're not, because it will get increasingly more complicated next year.
So let me ask you this. If I was to make $100,000 as my job, and I
yes.
sold my home, and I made $150,000 capital gain, so above my exclusion, in that case, I would bring home $250,000, I think. In that case, I would be subject to said Obamacare tax.
Yeah, you would be partially. And again, it's a computation, and I'm not going to get into the details of it, but it's to the extent that you're in excess.
Of course, the
of
50.
That, in excess of that $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go through and do the lesser of.
Got it.
So if you think you're in that situation, you need to contact a tax professional so they can help you do some planning.
What can they do?
What can they do?
Yeah, let's say that you're $50,000 over and you're going to have to pay 3.8% on that $50,000. What can a tax advisor do?
Well, one of the things you're going to want to look at is in the year that that happens, because that's going to be a one-time event, is you're going to want to pay California, because you're going to have additional California tax potentially as well, and you're going to want to get those into the same year that the gain occurs so that you have the most tax value for that deduction. You wouldn't want it to come in the subsequent year. It would be less valuable to you.
I see. Okay. So some amount of planning may lessen the burden, let's say.
It might lessen the burden.
And do you do year-end or tax planning? I would imagine you do.
I do. In fact, that's what I'm doing quite a bit of right now. And as you can imagine, the day after the election, I started getting a flood of phone calls because
I can imagine.
There's a lot of changes that are coming back. Proposition 30 in California has raised the tax rate for the high income earners in California, and
mm-hmm.
that's effective for 2012 going forward. And then, of course, we know that the fiscal cliff is coming, and there's a lot of uncertainty as what tax policy is going to be
like
going forward.
A lot of changes.
A lot of changes. But one of the things you guys did talk about is potentially the change in the capital gains rate. Right now, no higher than 15%. We revert to the pre-Bush tax cuts of 2001, 20%. And if you're in this high income area, add on the Medicare surtax of 3.8. Mm-hmm. Now you're at 23.8% from 15%. That's a pretty big pickup.
It's a big jump. Mm-hmm.
It is a big jump.
Another hit for those that have actually made money in real estate in California.
So back to the scenario I laid out to you,
yes.
Where no capital gains, I would suggest that she probably is still not subject to this 15 versus 20% tax also.
That's right. If you're under the gain exclusion, you're in good shape.
Got it.
It's to the extent that you're in excess of it, we have to look at these other factors.
Got it.
What's your taxable income? What other kind of investment income do you have? Because this tax, the Medicare surtax, applies to interest, dividends, capital gains. So it's more than just one particular transaction.
It sounds like you do have some tax strategies that can be implemented year in to get people to lessen the burden of these. What's the most common question you're being asked to plan for?
Well, the most common question that's coming about right now is, should I realize my gains in 2012 to try to lock in this 15% capital gains rate?
Right.
As compared to doing it someplace down the road. And, you know, I think it's something that's worth taking a look at. If you have something that is a valuable appreciated asset and you're looking to potentially monetize it in the near future, you know, why not lock in the rate at 15% this year? Before December 31st, and then if you really like the asset, you know, buy it back. You've paid the tax. You still can get the asset back if you need it, but you've taken care of the tax rate
liability.
At a preferential rate, and I'd say potentially 15% instead of 23.8%.
Right. So an example would be, I've got some gains on a stock. Liquidate it before the end of the year. Pay the 15% tax. Come the first or the second, rebuy that same stock back at whatever price, and I'm only taxed on the gain from that at the 20%.
That's right. Anything from that point forward. And so if it's something you really like, you know the stock well, it doesn't move a lot, or you know the way it moves, and you feel certain that it's going to hold on to its value, it's worth
really good
looking
advice.
At.
The helpline here, 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. Now, you do consultations for people?
I do.
Imagine?
I do. I do a lot of tax planning. As I mentioned before, this time of year, that's what we're doing a ton of.
Right. Mm-hmm. I can see that. And so your website, cgzcpa.com, Corazon Gonzalez Zaslow, cgzcpa.com. You can probably go there and find out more information about you. Or the phone number, 858-792-1566, free consultation, year-end tax planning. It certainly seems like time. And frankly, there's not that much time left in the year, is there?
No, there is not.
Some might say it's pretty much a ship that sailed already, huh?
Is it?
Well, for real estate transactions, probably.
Well, what about for tax planning? Is there still time?
No, there's still time to do some things. You can still put in a trade for some securities. And again, selling a stock just because of the tax consequences is in and of itself not enough. You need to take a look at your portfolio and talk to your financial advisor. Make sure you're making a good move.
Sure, that's just an example. One of the techniques.
But it's certainly worth looking at.
Tax planning makes an absolute difference. I mean, I was at a Star luncheon, and the whole conversation that surrounded the table was around tax planning and how to avoid and the changes and what was going on. I mean, it is a really big deal, and it's the game that people that keep money play, how to make sure that they keep that money. I've got a question for you regarding, you know, this Obamacare thing in terms of the ship having sailed and so on and so forth predictably with real estate transactions this year. Is there anybody out there that's making predictions as far as whether or not this is something that's going to be around for the next 4 years, let's say, or is it something that's just going to be around forever? Because it seems to me that when a tax is implemented, it never goes away. I mean, now they find a way to actually receive some money from the sale of a piece of real estate. They're receiving 3.8% above the exemptions that exist today, which are a gift, by the way. So is this something that we are all predicting that's either going to stay at 3.8%, maybe rise to more in the future, or is it something that may go away?
Well, one thing about tax is that it always changes, and that's a certainty. And as we know right now by watching the news and how do you avoid it, the talk of the fiscal cliff, we will have a deal done at some point, but I'm not going to hold my breath as to when that's going to happen and how that's going to look. But chances are great that taxes are going to be higher, and that's the way it's looking. So for the time being, I think it's going to be something we're going to have to deal with. You know, one of the other things that people are looking at, particularly if you own your own business, closely held business, and you've got money locked up that potentially is owed back to the business, is we have a preferential rate on dividends, qualified dividends, which are basically dividends from domestic companies. And at the present, they're taxed at no higher than 15%. That is possibly going to go away in the future. And so for closely held business owners that have C corporations, it might be the year to declare themselves a dividend, take that mm-hmm. and pay 15% on that money mm-hmm. that they might otherwise have to pay a higher rate on in the future.
It is an interesting conversation because, in fact, you know, we don't want to end up being a Greece now, do we? I mean, we've got to balance this budget somehow. We've got to pay for the infrastructure that the United States is supporting itself on. You know, however, it just seems like if you've owned real estate and they bring in some new tax law, that you should be exempt from it based on the principal point in which you purchased the property, not because the fact that they see a way to solve a problem today and you've owned a property for, you know, 20 years. You know, and these taxes are all new and showing up. I don't know. It just seems.
I want to touch back.
I think if you ran for office, you'd get some votes. I can say that for sure, for certain.
I stand for change.
I want to go back and touch on this year-end planning thing. This is really something I believe in. And we're going to go over a story about a family that perhaps didn't have the right advice and how they lost some substantial deductions that I think could have been overcome with the appropriate amount of advice and appropriate amount of planning, which is really, really where I'm pushing the year-end tax planning or just tax planning in general. The helpline here is 888-551-2593. Again, 888-551-2593. When we come back, we're going to go through the benefits, one benefit of year-end tax planning, and talk a little bit about the Mortgage Debt Relief Act when we come back. AM, ESPN Radio, the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac, David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. We are back in studio here with Drew Harden, Advanced Brokers Insurance Services. Drew, thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Larry Gonzalez, Corzon, Gonzalez, and Zaslow, CPA firm.
Thank you, Ryan.
All right, Larry, let's crank through this. Here's my scenario. I think these people could have benefited from some year-end tax planning. I've got three sisters that own a property that was given to them in a trust, and they've owned it for a very long time. Turns out their mother actually has lived in the property but is not an owner of the property. We're in the process of selling it now, and because they didn't go through the trouble or know to do what was necessary to claim it was owner-occupied, and there were many points in time when the girls lived in the house within two of the last 5 years that would have gotten them that $250,000 exemption. It would have saved them $80,000 in taxes. I mean,
well,
a lot of money.
It has to be two out of the last 5 years.
Two out of the last 5 years. Yeah,
so
that's right.
Remain in the property for at least 2 years.
Two of the last five.
Okay, got it.
Two of the last five, which they did. But, you know, I'm only going to be here, so I'm going to send my stuff to a P.O. box, and this isn't my permanent address, and blah, blah, blah. So they didn't take the proper precautions to have a utilities bill, tax returns, paycheck stubs, all verified with that address, which I would think is what the IRS uses to check, right?
Well, that's those are the indicia, if you will, of your primary residence. The fact pattern you're describing, though, we probably want to poke around a little bit more. You talked about a trust, and there are trusts and there are trusts. It depends about ownership issues, and so we can't just blanketly say that they had that. It depends on how the ownership in the trust was titled and mm-hmm. whatnot and what their respective interests are. So they'd probably need to talk to a tax professional. But in general, you are correct that if you know you're going to sell a property down the road and it's a property that is your primary residence, then you probably want to plan around making it your primary residence so that you can take advantage of that gain exclusion.
That's sheltered.
And, yeah, over the last 10 years, I've had some clients that have kind of leapfrogged to different homes. Luckily, part of that was during the upswing of
sure.
the real estate market, mm-hmm. so they could take advantage of it. And they would just turn around and take their gain from one property and go into the next. Mm-hmm. And they were very, very thoughtful about it. And we had meetings and planned it out. And we'd look at the relative value of the property when they got into it and when they were getting out. And they did very well.
So tax planning.
tax
planning.
It
makes a lot of sense, not just to do the returns after you can't change anything. I mean, once you do the returns, you're done. Let's go ahead and strategically engineer what's going to be on that return legally, of course.
That's right.
Hence the tax planning.
Forward thinking.
Right. I mean, you're going to sign your tax return. You're signing that it is true. What you're saying is right. So, you can't go back and say, oh, wait a minute. I want to claim that I live there so I can get this tax exemption.
No, and I don't think that's what Ryan was suggesting, or at least I hope that wasn't what he was suggesting.
I think they made a mistake.
I think what he was suggesting is that they didn't really think about the consequences of selling the property. And it's something that you need to plan for. And with a little bit of planning, as you say, $80,000,
mm-hmm.
It's a lot of money. Yeah.
Ouch.
The helpline here, 888-551-2593, 888-551-2593. Speak to Larry. He's going to go all through the year-end tax planning advice you're going to need. It is my voicemail. I'm on the air. I'm not going to answer. Leave a message. Larry will get back to you with whatever questions you might have. Okay, Larry, briefly, Mortgage Debt Relief Act.
Of 2007.
Yes. Is that going to be approved? What's going on with that?
Well, at the moment, that expires at the end of the year, December 31st, 2012. And that law that came about is effective for years 2007 through 2012. Basically, it says that if you sell your primary residence, if you have debt relief on your primary residence of up to $2 million and you meet the criteria, you don't have to pick up taxable income for that transaction.
And currently has not been extended.
Has not been extended, and as we talked about earlier, this whole fiscal cliff thing has got Washington kind of in an uproar, and I'm not holding my breath as to see when that'll hit the floor. It will happen, but it's probably not going to happen before the 31st.
Mm-hmm. So what's your prediction? Like, are they going to extend it, or is it going away?
Hard to know. I mean, the real estate community has been lobbying very heavily for it. The economist, accounting profession have been pushing for it. I saw that the National Association of Attorney Generals for the United States wrote some letters to Congress back at the end of November pressing for it because they see the potential devastation to the consumers and mortgagees in their states being affected. They're pressing for it to be pushed, but we're at the mercy of Washington at the moment.
You have to wonder sometimes if they actually delay signing these things just to get the attention, because literally there are people right now that are really up in arms about some of the decisions that need to be made regarding these taxes. I mean, this is a big deal.
It's a huge deal. I don't think I went through it, but some of the criteria for it is that the debt on your primary residence needs to be been from buying, acquiring, or improving your property. So loans that you've put on your property to buy a motorhome or take a vacation does not qualify.
Sure does not qualify, right.
A while back, a lot of people were reassessing their properties because we all know people that have had properties go down in value. Right. I mean, the last 5 years, properties
that would be all of us.
Right. Yeah. There's not anybody in this room that hasn't been affected by
this
economy. So a lot of people, and if you haven't, where have you been, went out there and got their properties reassessed for tax purposes. And obviously we did that for the reasons of saving money. Right. So when we're talking about saving money, and we're talking about the holiday season, people are looking around to figure out where they can make more money. If you're not, where have you been? One of the ways you can do that is to realize that if your property values have actually dropped, why not get your insurance reassessed so that you can drop the coverage and actually save a monthly premium? Drew, are you doing a lot of that right now?
That's a great point, David. And yes, we are. I mean, if you're somebody that bought a house back in 05 or 06 when the market value was sky high, you might be overinsured as we speak. You'd never want to be underinsured, but it doesn't make any sense to be overinsured either. You end up paying higher premiums for that insurance that you'll never see.
Okay, when you say never see, I think what you mean is that the insurance companies are going to say, well, we're going to send out an evaluator, you're covered, and then we're going to determine based on the evaluation how much you pay, regardless of what your premiums are.
Absolutely. I mean, if you've got your house covered for $600,000 and they send their adjuster out and it says, well, we could replace this for $500,000, you've paid insurance on an extra $100,000 that you really didn't have to. So, yeah, it is very important to sit down, reassess your home value, your replacement cost for your dwelling, and adjust your coverage accordingly.
What kind of savings are we talking about? I mean, in that example, let's say that your replacement cost is $100,000 less than what you're currently paying. Just ballpark. I mean, obviously, you don't know exactly, but, you know, say, what kind of savings would a $100,000 drop in premium be?
You know, it's really not huge, to be honest with you. Homeowners is pretty affordable as it is. I mean, to go from, you know, $600,000 to $500,000 might save you, I don't know, maybe 15% or so on your insurance. But some, you know, especially here in San Diego, some of these houses are up there as far as the value. In turn, the insurance premiums are up there too. So, you know, 10 or 15% off that could be some pretty substantial savings.
And do you have a way of reviewing the replacement costs? I mean, you must have some way of determining what the replacement costs are, right?
Absolutely. In fact, just this last year, 2012, the state of California mandates that all insurance agents get certified to do replacement cost estimators. Each company has their own regulated cost estimator that they use. One of the bigger ones out there is the Marshall Swift Beck, which a lot of companies have adopted.
You mean it's not Ryan's favorite website, Zillow?
No, those are always way higher than they need to be. Although, I guess if you're trying to sell a property.
Careful now. There's people out there that are relying on that value.
No, and I will tell you, though, there is some useful information on those sites because when we have a house that we're looking at, we find all the information we need, year built, square footage, all the amenities the house has and all that. So we actually do use those sites to help determine that.
So we talked about 2003, prices were going up, median home value, 358. We peaked, now we're back, we came back down 2008, again, median home price, 358. So if I bought a home between 2003 and 2008, I paid more than it's worth today, right? That's
true.
That's the likely story. So basically,
absolutely,
if you bought a home between 2003 and 2008, you may be paying for home replacement costs or insurance, home insurance, for a home that's worth less than your insurance plan.
That's absolutely true. And again, you know, even if you are covered up to X amount and it takes less to rebuild that home, the company's not going to pay the higher amount. They're going to pay the lower amount that it takes to rebuild that home, bring you back to whole and indemnify you.
So what do I have to do to find out, you know, what I can save? Do I call you? How do I do this?
We assess home values all the time. Yeah, you can definitely give us a call or give your current agent a call to have them look at your current homeowner's coverage, make sure it's covered for the true value.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing we do run into, you know, there's pretty big discrepancies along the coast as opposed to inland. A lot of homes along the coast are actually covered for less than their sale value. Just because the land they sit on is so pricey, whereas, you know, somebody in East County might have coverage for more than what they could sell their house for, only because it would actually cost that to rebuild that house, which the sales price would be actually be less than what they could rebuild the house for. So sometimes that takes some explaining, but it does vary here in the county.
Yeah. So one of the myths out there right now, some people. Figure is that, okay, my house is worth $600,000. If it burns down, I'm going to get a check for $600,000. Not true. The land still remains. You're only going to get the replacement cost. We're going to go on a break for a second here. Ryan, you had something to say?
888-551-2593. 888-551-2593. If you bought a home between 2003 and 2008 and you haven't had your homeowner's insurance policy reevaluated, you may be paying more than necessary. And for that matter, if you've bought a home between 2008 and 2012 in the bottom trough, it may have appreciated such that you're no longer completely covered.
That's true.
Either way, you need to find out. Drew Harden here with Advanced Brokers Insurance Services can help you. The helpline here, 888-551-2593.
When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the insurance myths, some of the things out there that people feel will actually improve their insurance premiums. Maybe true, maybe not. I don't know. When we come back. Welcome back to ESPN 1700, the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Ryan White.
and Big Mac, David McKelvin. We were talking with Drew Harden about some of the real estate, or sorry, insurance myths that are out there in terms of, would you save money if you have a fire hydrant in your front yard? Is that true?
No, that's a myth. I mean, anything within 1,000 feet is kind of categorized the same. Fire station within 5 miles is usually categorized the same, too. So if it's right in your front yard as opposed to down the street, that's not going to save you anything.
So if your insurance guy says, I can save you some money because there's a fire hydrant in your front yard, he's just... What about burglar alarms? I hear that a lot.
Burglar alarms do help. You know, don't let the burglar alarm guy tell you how much of a discount you're going to get for him to sell you that alarm.
Offset the whole
I mean,
cost.
That's the biggest tip
just
I will say.
Just pay the monthly royalty fee. Yeah.
Don't listen to the burglar alarm salesman because it's never as big as what they tell you. Typically, it's about 5% or less for having a burglar alarm. And it has to be a central station reported burglar alarm that has monitoring.
Yeah. And so, you know, we led the segment here talking a little bit about the tax reassessment. And Larry Gonzalez, you talked briefly about some of the science behind some of the things that you had done to actually get your property reassessed and the value dropped.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fairly simple process, and probably most people in the mail have gotten mailers from companies that will do it on your behalf, you know, and they'll charge you a few hundred dollars to do it. But essentially, you're just contesting that value that comes out at the beginning of the year from the assessor's office as to the value of your home. And as we all know, this last 5 years, things have been coming down in general. We earlier talked about them going up, but in general, they've been going down. And so, you know, with a little bit of homework, taking a look at the real estate sales in your community, you can get a pretty good handle as to what the value is. And if your property tax bill is higher than that, you should contest it. And what I have found is that the squeaky wheel gets oiled, because when I have submitted the document, and it's fairly simple to prepare to basically contest the value, I've usually gotten blowback and it's been rejected. I've pushed for it, and then they've sent me a letter and said that I need to go to a hearing in San Diego to contest it. And I've responded back to it, and then about a week before it happens, I get a phone call from an analyst, and I've had it reduced.
So they'd rather settle with you before they actually have to meet with you.
Sure, because it's time, and everybody's time is valuable. And they don't, if they have a losing battle, then they don't want to push it. But the important thing is you need to have the documentation, and the best way to do that is contact a friendly real estate professional that can assist you. I wonder if we know of any that could do that.
Friendly? I'm not sure.
I didn't say good looking. I said friendly.
Well, Drew, you know, along the lines of saving money, you know, one of the myths is, you know, hey, I don't want to put a claim in because my insurance premium is going to go up. What's up with that?
You know, that's actually a valid point. Really putting any kind of claim against your home or auto will probably result in a rate increase if it's something that was your fault. I mean, if you have a claim at your home, well, actually, it doesn't have to be your fault. It could be a theft claim. It could be an accidental fire claim. Typically, those will raise your premium at renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, those will stick with you for 3 years. So if you ever did try to switch companies, each company will look at your three-year loss history, and that could, in turn, affect your rate.
Mm-hmm. Now, recently, well, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago, there's a hurricane in Florida, and then all of a sudden, all these insurance companies started going belly up, and you couldn't really get insurance in that area. And California recently, well, maybe not recently, but they put a policy rider in place to ensure that everybody can get insurance regardless of the situation of their property. So now you can tap into that sort of thing too.
Great point. A big topic here in the San Diego area, here all in Southern California for that matter, is the wild brush fires.
Right.
And each company has really been tightening up their underwriting. In fact, we have customers that we wrote a year ago that are getting non-renewed now because since last year, these companies have tightened up their underwriting to where they won't accept these brush exposure properties. There is alternative coverage out there. There's a California Fair Plan who's offered through the state. It's typically not as good a coverage as what you can get through a regular homeowner's policy, but they do ensure that you can insure your home.
Well, Drew, I mean, what really sets you apart? You're with Advanced Brokers Insurance Services, not necessarily one of the core brand names that we see of these Super Bowl commercials. They're spending millions of dollars to run these commercials.
Sure.
You're out there, you're shopping around, you're a broker. So what is the advantage that you have, say, over some of these bigger brand names?
Well, unlike the big brand names that you're talking about, where their agents actually represent them, the company, brokers like myself and independent agents actually represent the client by comparing rates through several different companies. The companies that you're referring to are what they call captive carriers, and their agents only sell that product. Whereas on the independent side, like what I offer, we're contracted with several companies to compare rates, find the best coverage package for our clients.
When you say several, I mean, give me a ballpark. Hundreds?
No. Yeah, it's possible. There are big brokers out there with hundreds of carriers. We're kind of on the smaller side. We're a mom-and-pop operation. We have about 20 people or 20 companies that we can compare rates through for you.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to get a hold of Drew Harden to get a re-evaluation on your coverage replacement cost, give him a call at 858-776-3661. That's the number, 858-776-3661.
And so I guess the reason one might contact you is to determine if the amount of coverage they have on their primary residence or their residences are correct, especially with the big fluctuations in the marketplace. They may be paying for insurance they don't need or may be underinsured.
Absolutely. And that's one thing we do every day is sit down with clients, review their current coverage amounts. You know, we often tell people that they're good. I mean, they're getting a great rate. Their coverage is good. And, you know, we tell people that more often than we'd like to, but that is what we do. You know, we compare rates, we reassess coverage amounts, and if you're good where you're at, we'll be the first ones to tell you that.
How often is it recommended that someone reviews their homeowner's insurance policy?
At renewal, once a year is probably a good time to kind of sit down with your agent and kind of reassess all your coverage
amounts.
How
often do people actually review it?
Oh, it's about once every decade.
That's what I figured.
Unless there's some kind of big lifestyle change, you know, marriage, divorce, sale, you know.
Fire
sales
or
guess,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so a couple of preemptive strikes out there. Before the fires hit, it's time to get your homeowner's policy renewed or revised, reviewed, I should say, potentially revised and maybe renewed to determine if you have the right coverage for your home. And before it's time to fill out those tax forms and there's nothing you can do about it, maybe you should look into some year-end tax planning. Larry and Drew would be happy to help you with either of those things. Of course, Drew will be helping you with the insurance. Larry, with your year-end tax planning, the helpline number here, 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. And Larry touched on briefly the reassessment for property tax.
Yeah, you can actually go to sandiegosdcounty.ca.gov and download that form.
Get the form. And more importantly, if you need comps to support your value, it's pretty rare that we're asked to find the lowest comps. But in this case, that may be what you're looking for. If you're looking for that information, also call us 888-551-2593. Leave your information. We'll get you the comps you need so you can walk through the process of getting your property tax reassessed. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. Look forward to doing it again next week.
Absolutely.
Talk to you later.